On today's Tech Help for Churches, live podcasting and editing. Hi, everyone, and welcome again to Tech Help for Churches. My name is Paul Clifford, and I'm your host, and I would love for you to join the conversation. So head on over to trinitydigitalmedia.com/contact, and there you can find all the contact information, like my email address, which is paul@trinitydigitalmedia.com, the phone number 1-877-763-3246, or 1-877-POD-ECHO, my Twitter handle, Paul Allen Cliff. If you're watching the video, you actually see it right here, hovering underneath my chin. And that is another good way to contact me. As you might know, I did write the book on Twitter for churches. So, of course, that works. Let's see here. And those are really the main ways of contacting me. Of course, you can leave your comment below the video, whether it's on YouTube or on TrinityDigitalMedia.com. My mouth didn't want to work there for a second. Any of those things are perfectly fine with me. So I just wanted to let you know about that. Remember, all you need to remember is TrinityDigitalMedia.com/contact, and that'll work perfectly fine. So, let's talk, shall we, about a couple of things. If you're just joining us, I did write the book on podcasting for churches called Podcasting Church. And this is my first book. And so we're kind of going through that on today's show. So I'm talking about what you'll find in chapters 7 and 8. 7 is all about live podcasting, and 8 is about editing. So, when it comes to live podcasting, which is what I'm doing right now, by the way, I'm a big fan of live podcasting, and the reason is it saves so much time. So much time. Now, some people can't do it because it really requires a certain degree of practice, a certain degree of preparation, etc. In fact, that's what we're going to talk about, is some of the non-technical things that you really need to know in order to do a live podcast. So the first thing that I would say is you need to have planned out your podcast very well. Now, if you're just doing the message, of course you want to plan that out, but that's not your only genre of possible podcasts. If you go back to a previous show, we talked about different genres and formats. In fact, that's what we talked about last week. So you need to have everything planned out and not be flying by the seat of your pants. Next, you need to preview all the pieces. You need to know that everything that you're going to use is going to work. So that's another piece of the puzzle. You should know, hey, I know that this is going to work, and I know what it sounds like. I'm not going to be surprised by anything like that. That's kind of an important piece of the puzzle as well. It's also important to know how long each piece is and when it ends. In television, they call this time and out. So in television, for example, a lot of times you'll see in local news, they'll interview someone that was at the scene of an accident, and the person will say the same thing twice in a row. They'll say, and that was just horrible. Just horrible. And they do that for dramatic effect. Maybe they don't even know that they're doing it, but the person that's watching this and interacting with it, the anchor, needs to know that it's what we call a double out. Because if they're listening for just horrible, well, that's said twice. So if they start talking after the first time, they will cut off the second time. That's no good. So it's important that you know both how long something is and how it ends. Next, you need to test all the equipment that you use, because you never know when there's a loose cord or something that just refuses to work. Right now, as I'm doing this live, I'm looking, and for some reason, my video is a little more stuttery than normal. This would be a good example. Now, I tested this beforehand, and it seemed to work fine. So you can't always avoid everything, but it's something worth knowing. Now, there are different types of videos that you would use if you're doing a video podcast. We have what's called a VO, or a voiceover, and a SOT, or sound on tape. The idea behind this is, where does the audio come from? So you can combine those into packages. So in news, you'll have a VO where they'll read something, and then after they're done reading, they know, hey, we've got 15 seconds to read these two sentences. After that, then the sound kicks in and someone says something. That's called a VOSOT. VO, voiceover, followed by a SOT, sound on tape. And that can really be powerful if the anchor talks about, and this is where this accident happened, there was all kinds of witnesses, including this woman, and then the woman starts talking. Very, very powerful, really tells the story. Now, in a podcast, the time isn't as important as it is in television news, where everything is tightly controlled, but if it really matters that you keep everyone's expectations about the same. So this show, for example, goes between 15 and 30 minutes. If it went 3 hours, that would be outside of your expectations. If it went 2 minutes, that would also be outside of your expectations. So it matters that you know about how long the topic is that you're going to be covering. And when you're doing live production, sometimes you will need to do things to communicate with others. Now, I'm doing all this by myself, so basically, I don't have to communicate with the producer. I don't have to communicate with the floor director. I don't have to communicate. But if I had a larger production crew, which someday I hope to have, we'll have to have whiteboards, hand signals, different things to be able to communicate to one another. Now, you might have noticed that in live television, for example, they'll often look straight at the camera and it appears like they just know what to say. In this case, the reason that I can look straight at the camera and appear that I know what to say is because I wrote the book. So I therefore know what it says. But another way to do this is to think of it as, think of using what's called a teleprompter. Now, the magic behind a teleprompter really isn't magic, it's just the reflective nature of glass. So glass at a 45 degree angle, here let me try and simulate this with my hand, there we go, doing this backwards. So if the camera, move the book over here, if the camera is pointed at the glass at a 45 degree angle, actually it would be the opposite way, and there is a monitor underneath it projecting backwards words, that's going to reflect up on the glass, and the camera will shoot through the glass, and the person will be able to read what the glass is saying. So you might have noticed that the president, for example, when he speaks, currently we have a male president, when he speaks, there are two just kind of 45-degree angle pieces of glass, one on each side. What those are teleprompters. They're reflecting monitors on the floor, and he can look to one side, then look to another, and then look in the middle as if this speech is all coming from the heart when it was written by someone else. The president doesn't write his or her speech necessarily. There are speechwriters that do that. So that's part of the skill of being a public speaker, is being able to read someone else's words as if they're your own. Finally, the last piece, if you're doing a more produced multiple-person environment, is it really helps to have someone able to count things in and count things out. So we call that person the floor director, and when they know that the video is coming to an end, often they'll repeat exactly what the they'll repeat what they hear from the director or from the producer as to how little time is left. So they might say to the on-air talent, okay, we're back in 5, 4, 3. And they do that. If you're listening to the audio, you didn't hear me say 2 or 1. That's because I use my fingers to indicate that. And then at 0, I pointed. That I used to do floor direction. And that was something that the anchors really depended on to know when to come back from commercial. So it's really a matter of planning out what you're going to do when you're going to do a live podcast. And if it's not just you doing it, if there's a crew, even if the crew is the person on the camera and someone else, you need to be able to communicate. You need to have a good plan so that you can do everything live. And that's part of what we do when we're doing a live podcast. I'll be talking about editing right after this. Tech Help for Churches is generously provided for by viewers like you. Thank you. Head on over to patreon.com/paulallencliff, patreon.com/paulallencliff, and you can support the show for as little as $1 a month or as much as you want. Really, it's up to you. So head over, because every little bit helps. So doing a show live is one way to do a podcast, whether video or audio. But there are other ways to do it. You can do it in an edited manner. Now, I've talked about this before, but I think it really bears repeating that the downside of editing is time. The upside of editing is control. So when I edit together someone's story, if they're giving their testimony at church, I have a lot of control. I can make them say a lot of things. So it's very important that I exercise restraint and don't change the nature of their message, just as it's important that whoever edits your podcast has restraint and doesn't change the nature of what is being said. They have a lot of control, but it takes a lot of time. Every Saturday night, I edit our church's message for delivery at our satellite campus. Right now, the only one is in Frankfurt. Coming this fall, they'll have one in Cincinnati as well. And at that time, we're going to a live format. Well, right now, I'm cutting things for time primarily, but occasionally there are elements that just don't work as well in the room. So it's important that I know which is which and that I'm able to deal with that appropriately. And I've often said, if I had a week, I could make this look perfect. But we have tonight before tomorrow's service. So since we do, can we settle for pretty good and most people won't notice, as opposed to incredible and nobody could possibly notice? Because that's part of the issue, because of the time constraints. So first off, in order to do this well, you need editing software. Now, most modern computers can edit both video and audio with no difficulty whatsoever. When I say modern, I really think anything made in the 2010s or later. So it's 2014 right now. If your computer was made in 2010, 2011, etc., I think that you're probably perfectly fine to use it for editing, as long as it's not junked up by stuff. You might need to do a clean install of the OS and get rid of a bunch of junk on the hard drive, but you could probably do both audio and video editing if you have the appropriate software. Now, YouTube has the ability to do editing. It's not very heavy-duty editing, but it is editing. A lot of recent smartphones and tablets have the ability to do editing. It's not very heavy-duty editing, but it is editing. So if you're primarily just moving things around, if you're primarily trimming pieces, changing out the audio, etc., then that's no problem whatsoever. These services can usually handle that. When you start getting into motion graphics, when you get into titling, sometimes you need something a little bit more. So that's one thing that I would consider. When it comes to background elements, like background audio or sound effects, things like that, if you're going to be editing anyway, I think I would not try and do those live. I think I would add those in during the editing process so that you have control of when it starts and when it stops. You might notice that in these shows, the audio may not necessarily start and stop exactly at the right time, every time. That's fine for what I'm doing, because I'm trying not to edit. I'm trying, okay, technically I do bring it into QuickTime and trim off the beginning, but other than that, I just want this as seamless and easy as possible. But if I had more time, or if I had an editor working for me full time, I think that it would be really good to be able to have that kind of control. Now, I think that minimalism when it comes to editing really is the key here, because you can over-edit. Just as you can under-edit, you can over-edit. And if you're removing every little audio gap, every single one, if you remove every etc., every vocalized pause, you can get to the point where it doesn't sound real anymore, where it sounds edited. And that's what you want to avoid. You want to make it as natural a sounding thing as possible. Something that doesn't have an overly produced feel to it. Now, it should still feel produced. It should feel like you took some time and effort to do this, but you don't want to do that. Now, I said in the book that great content covers a multitude of sins, and it really does. If you're engaging, there's really no such thing as too long. There's just a such thing as too boring. And the problem I have when I edit our church service is our pastors are very engaging. Now, that's good, because that means that if I miss things when I'm looking for them, people who are not looking for them will definitely miss them. So good content covers a multitude of sins, but don't let problems with the production overshadow the content either. You can get to the point where you're so hyper-focused on problems that you can't see how good something is. I've seen this over and over again with rookie producers, and I've seen it over and over again with rookie editors, that they will try and make something perfect, and in trying to make it perfect, they'll miss the hole and miss how that no one saw this last little bit of something that they spent hours to try and remove. So you have to be able to see the forest and the trees when you're looking at editing. And it takes a certain amount of self-discipline to do this right. So if you're the person on the podcast, it would be better if you condition yourself not to say, those vocalized pauses, than to depend on an editor to remove them, especially when it comes to a video. You'll notice in this particular podcast, for example, if you're watching the video, which you can watch over on YouTube, or you can watch here on my site at trinitydigitalmedia.com, that most of the video is a single talking head shot. That's what they call it, because it's just my head, just talking. That would be incredibly difficult to edit. This is something that I had to explain at my church when we started editing the Saturday night service for Sunday morning at our satellite campus. Because we didn't record each camera in isolation, it was very difficult to cut things out until we started using audience reaction shots to cover up those cuts. Then all we had to do is worry about continuity of what the pastor was saying, but that's less difficult than dealing with having to cover up some slight mistake with something else. And if your podcast is in the pastor's office and you only have one angle, that's going to be virtually impossible to do. Now, I've seen a couple of times where we've had what I call God edits, where it just worked, and I don't know how it worked, it just did. But those are the exception, not the rule. Those are times where that's clearly what God wanted me to do, because I couldn't have made it work as well as it did. So it's better to fix things in the recording process than it is to depend on the editing process. Me not saying, etc., while I'm recording, that's a half-second fix in the self-discipline of how I communicate, as opposed to a potentially hours-long fix in editing. So I really want to emphasize how much easier it is to do it right the first time than to try and fix it. Because even though editing has the ability to fix everything, even though you have that control like I talked about just a few minutes ago, it's not the case that you can fix everything. Not easily. And it's taken me a long time to communicate this to my leaders at church, but editing takes a lot of time. I don't want it to take a lot of time, but it does. So if we want something high quality that doesn't look like we edited it, because that's kind of the whole point, is that people would not be distracted by what we did and think, oh, that was an edit point. No, we don't want them thinking that, because they would miss part of the message while they were thinking that. It's better to fix it while it's live than it is to fix it in post. In the case of my church, it's better that the pastor does not say, "Hey, Saturday night service, blah, blah, blah," than to have me go, "Okay, do we leave it in? Or do I try and fix it?" It's probably about an hour of my time if I try and fix it. For each time he says, "Hey, Saturday night, this is the Saturday night service." And I understand that sometimes you forget, and that's fine. But one is easier to accomplish than the other. And by the way, we don't edit those because we're trying to fool people. We're editing those because we don't want people to be distracted thinking, "No, it's oh yeah, that's right. This was recorded last night." That's just no good. We don't want people to be taken out of the moment. So that's why we do editing of those things, and that's why you might want to do them in your podcast. So I hope this information has helped you. I hope that you will take it and use it as you're editing your own podcast or as you're doing a live podcast. If you like the show, don't hesitate to go to trinitydigitalmedia.com/iTunes reviews and leave a 4 or 5 star review for the show. If you have not subscribed, this is a free thing that you can do. You can subscribe to the show by going to trinitydigitalmedia.com/subscribe. And I've got all the links there, whether it's Stitcher, RSS, or iTunes, any of those. And you can get the show automatically so you don't have to remember. Now, what day was that show on? Mondays. But you don't have to remember that. It'll just automatically be delivered to your device. And that is a very powerful way to do things. Remember, if you have any questions, head over to trinitydigitalmedia.com/contact. That's what all the cool kids are doing. So I really do treasure your feedback. And I talk about all that on Friday's show, which is the question and answer show. So if you have any questions, don't hesitate to go there and leave your feedback. So until next week, this is Paul Allen Clifford with TrinityDigitalMedia.com. Go out and change eternity.